Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The 4 o'clock hour gets cranked up with Chuck and Chernoff. Happy Friday. Thanks for spending yours right here with us on The Fan and The Fan mobile app. We'll walk you right up to the Braves and the Padres. Pre-game, 680 game day, Ford leadoff show all on The Fan. And then 7:20 first pitch with Max Fried against you. Darvish for the Padres. 4 o'clock hour of the show is brought to you by South Point Financial Services. If you're looking to refinance your home or investment property, you need to contact South Point Financial Services at SPFS.com. All right, we have a Braves lineup. And at the top of that lineup is not Ronald Acuna.
Son of a bitches!
But he was off yesterday.
Travis DeMeritt will get the start in right field leading off. Matthew Olson will bat second at first base with Austin Riley back hitting third at third base. Marcelo Ozuna is in left field batting fourth. Travis d'Arnaud behind the plate batting fifth. Ozzie Albies drops down to sixth. Adam Duvall in center batting seventh. William Contreras, I like that, at the DH. Hitting eighth, and Dansby batting ninth. The frozen rope, Kevin McAlpin, just updated me that he saw Ronald a few minutes ago and said he looked normal, whatever that means. Snit will address the media coming up in a couple of minutes, so we'll get an update there. I'm going to also assume, this is just an assumption, we got the lineup this late for a reason. They were testing Ronald out, and they just decided maybe not ready. That's also good news that they were willing to say, let's wait this long, so let's hope it's maybe tomorrow that he's back in there, but no Acuna tonight, and again, we'll get word from Snit on that one coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Falcons made a trade for another big wide receiver. This time, it's Bryan Edwards of the Las Vegas Raiders. If you are a Raider or a Bear, you have a chance to make it with the Falcons. Edwards a year ago had 34 catches, 571 yards, nearly 17 yards of reception. I like that. Three touchdowns. He's a 6'3", 212-pound receiver, adding to the basketball lineup that the Falcons are trying to now put together with Drake London at 6'4", 220. Kyle Pitts, 6'6", 245. Auden Tate, 6'5", 230. Bryan Edwards, 6'3", 215. And we always sort of neglect Cordell Patterson, 6'2", 230.
Tough.
So you got a bunch of guys that if you want to play bully ball with, you got a chance to do that one. So that's the latest there. Chuck's got a college football today after clickbait tease us.
Who's missing from one SEC offense is as troublesome to hear about as who's actually there.
It's the weirdest from the web that will surely get you a virus.
You open attachments and what happens? You get a virus.
Clickbait.
Sorry I spilled the syrup on you, Chuck.
Yeah, it happens.
Hi, Brandon Joseph.
Hi.
What's on the old Wheel of Headlines today?
We have six headlines, as we always do on the Wheel of Headlines.
It's not syrup, it's whipped cream.
It's a Friday.
Well, we're going to get the weekend started.
That's right.
Headline number one, United Airlines passenger jumps out of emergency exit, slides down plane wing.
Okay, seems right.
Former Pinal County Sheriff deputy arrested for allegedly stealing wedding gifts.
Okay.
Man whose penis fell off due to blood infection, had it reattached to his arm for 6 years.
I
just heard penis, blood infection, arm attached. Okay.
Can we not do this topic? Can you scratch my elbow?
What else?
Payouts paused after host calls wrong Mega Millions Mega Ball number.
No.
Four-year-old boy crashes after taking mother's car for a joyride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And woman puts condom on her leg to call out men who say they're, quote, too big to wear them.
Spin the wheel.
I don't think we have any protection.
Thank you, Buck. The Wheel of Headlines is spinning. Where she will stop, we don't know.
Man whose penis fell off due to blood infection had it reattached to his arm for 6 years.
Stop for 1 second. Topic. You're saying it fell off.
It fell off.
Okay, I'm listening.
Malcolm McDonald, not to be confused with Michael McDonald.
Of the Doobie Brothers, that's a different guy.
He spent 6 years with his penis attached to his arm after a surgery complication caused a blood infection that stopped supplying blood to his member.
Okay.
And the organ fell off, died. Okay. So to reattach it and to get it working again, you have to fix it to the body part. They put it on his arm because that's where blood flows most rampantly.
So wait a minute.
That's not the end of the story.
No, so it stays in 6 years and doctors kept checking. And once they determined that after 6 years it was viable, they were able to reattach. And Malcolm is...
So it was a happy end.
Happy guy again.
Wait a minute, though. So when he pees, does he hold his arm over the toilet? What does he do?
No, for that six-year period, he had other means to go to the bathroom.
There's too much of that story for me to digest. I'm trying to get a visual of all this.
And I'm thinking about, like, being in church, middle of summer.
Do you wear long sleeves all the time?
So they have fixed it under the skin.
Oh, even worse.
It's inside your body, yes.
Oh, no. How is that for a conversation starter? That's this is the worst thing I've ever heard. I'd rather be dead.
It's not like hanging off of your arm. Like,
okay, but if you have it under the skin, is it like it's a...
Can't we attach it to an animal like sheep? Don't we? Are we growing things on sheep and stuff like that?
Are we?
I thought we were.
I feel like there's a lot of unknown with this story. What's the source of this story?
TheIndependent.co.uk.
All right. Next story. Let's spin the wheel. Independent, a lot like the...
I just didn't get fired four times.
Like the Wall Street Journal. All right, the wheel of headlines is spinning.
United Airlines passenger jumps out of emergency exit and slides down the plane wing.
Captain Sum Ting Wong.
Matt, this did not happen on the airline you flew to Vegas, so that's a shocker.
I don't even think they had emergency exits in the airline I flew.
To begin with, but this happened at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, and everybody's worst fear. The emergency door opens and the slide deploys, but this happened after the plane had landed and was taxiing back to the jetway. Mm-hmm. It was taking over 5 minutes for the plane to get back, so this passenger just decided, I'm out this B. Pulled the emergency exit, the slide deployed, he hopped on the wing, hopped off the plane.
He had a connection to make, so he wasn't going to F around.
And ran on the tarmac to get to the nearest terminal. He was arrested.
I was going
to
say, is a dumb question, is that a felony?
That is a felony.
What is that listed as?
I'm sorry, it's misdemeanor reckless conduct.
Okay.
This happened at 4:30 in the morning.
All I picture,
so I don't think he had a connection.
I picture John Lithgow in the Twilight Zone movie. There's a man on the wing, and there really is a guy on the wing hopping down.
I stole one of those life jackets underneath the seat.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, I did.
How'd you get a life jacket off the plane? You shoved it in a bag?
In a backpack. You carry on your backpack. I wanted to see if they would inflate when you pulled it.
And?
They do. Or you can manually inflate them by blowing in.
Watch a YouTube video next time.
When? I don't even want to do this. When did you do this?
I was 17. Okay. I didn't do it under my seat, though, because I figured they could come back and find me.
And so you wondered about it, so you figured just do it and find out.
You never see them, so they weren't going to know it was missing. And by the way, planes don't normally go down in the ocean, and it's not like there was going to be one guy without a life jacket. Yeah.
Say that to Sully's plane. There'd have been one short life jacket there. The man has a court date for June 27th.
Let me recap. So Hoyt has lied his way onto Fenway Park by showing up with a group of cancer patients. Stole a life jacket off the airline.
Just to find out
if it...
Hoyt, you don't know that the light goes out in the refrigerator when the door shut. You don't know.
That's your next task. Why don't you get in there and find out and stay in there 10, 12 hours. See if it comes back on.
You don't know.
Spin the wheel. Wheel of headlines spinning. Last story of the day. I'm so excited. What do we have?
Final story. Woman puts condom on her leg to call out men who say they're, quote, too big to wear them.
You mean in height, yes.
Joe Jordan is a TikToker who yesterday on her TikTok decided to post a video of placing a condom over her leg to show that it is not an excuse for guys who say that they don't fit.
Hang on. She didn't have to then do anything with her leg.
No, she
There's
just...
a difference between simply applying it and saying it fits and saying it fits and doesn't...
It's like a jacket. If a fat guy puts a small jacket on, doesn't mean he can bend over and move the arms.
He's got the jacket on, though.
You two are on a roll right now. I'm going to let you two go. So this is on video on TikTok. It's a dumb question. You can get a whole condom over a leg?
Got it over her leg. It looked like, quote, a thigh-high boot.
Is it like one of the Magnums? What are we looking at there?
You want to know the brand? Because they have it.
It's got to be a Trojan, right?
Trojan, yeah. Unlubricated.
Well, you didn't have to share that part of it. I mean, that's a lot of info.
I don't know if there's a difference if the structural integrity changes with the lubricant.
I haven't.
The viscosity.
I haven't thought about it. So after her findings, she determined that there's no excuse for a man not to put on the condom.
I don't know. Her leg didn't have to do anything at that point.
Do you know that she walked around or not? I didn't see the TikTok.
No, she just put it on, and then it cut to her explaining that this is not an excuse for guys. That
Chuck, are you trying to make an excuse for guys?
I'm saying.
Right, what are you saying?
That this is one of the very few issues where there's not a lot of expertise available from a female. There's just not. How it feels and how practical,
Yeah, just watch the video, Hoyt.
Is it went up to about the mid-thigh?
Goes over the knee.
Okay.
All right, and if the conclusion from...
What would you have needed her to do with her leg to prove it to you that it...
No, I'm saying...
You want her to...
If you put the condom on your foot or calf or leg or whatever,
right,
and then your conclusion is, so you got to wear it, that's pretty far off base.
What if she gave an enziguri kick to somebody to show you she's doing something with it?
Well, if you want me to give a conspiracy theory, she goes to bend her knee, and all of a sudden the video stops.
Oh,
so it probably...
And Stevie Wonder is there and, like, reaches for the mic stand.
There you go.
She said, it's a fun trick. If guys ever try to hoodwink you with this nonsense, you now have a fun little trick you can show them.
That's
clickbait.
There's foreplay.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Because money matters.
It's got the beta king. Duffy Realty
ATL.com. DuffyRealtyATL.com. If you're looking to buy your forever home, oh yeah, Ron and Duffy, not only do you get the end of the rainbow when it comes to walls and a roof, but you also get the cut of the buyer's agent's commission. That's right. Week and a half, 2 weeks after closing, open the mailbox. Found money, Duffy Realty, ATL.com. Said, who's missing from one SEC offense? At least as far as conversation I had a couple of days back, is as troublesome as who was actually on the roster. Talking to a buddy of mine, he's not in the media. He's not even a season ticket holder anymore. Lives in Atlanta, but he's a Florida fan. And we were talking about Florida's receiver core and the passing game and all that. I was making the point to him that, do you realize, Matt, tomorrow will be exactly 1 month since Anthony Richardson won the job in spring, playing in the U.S. spring game. What passed for it? It was a Thursday night scrimmage, basically.
Right.
That was 1 month ago. I now can't find a mock draft that doesn't have Anthony Richardson as a top 10 pick.
How did we get there, though?
A month ago, he was battling it out in spring.
It's one hell of a leap.
Now he's like the seventh overall pick. So we're talking about the receivers, though, and my buddy said, man, we could use a guy like Freddie Swain. And I looked at him. I was like, excuse me? Freddie Swain was a perfectly fine receiver. If you don't remember him, he left Florida after the 19 season. He's in the league, been playing with Seattle. Freddie Swain, like, he was a plenty good receiver, and he had wheels, okay? He could really, really move. And right now they got Justin Shorter, who's about 6'5", and is a fine receiver, but he doesn't win at the line of scrimmage. He can't separate. Trent Whittemore, who Florida fans 2 years ago, if we just get Whittemore back, and then you got him back, you're like, yeah, he's okay. They do not, maybe Copeland, they don't have the burner, like the really high-octane guy. And so the point that a friend was making, I'm sure, was just, I need somebody who can pick him up and put him down. We need that profile of a guy. He really knows about Florida football, and I don't think that this makes it. And again, it's not about his comment. It's just putting into perspective where they are. Freddie Swain played 4 years at Florida and caught 68 passes combined in 4 years. And that's a guy that you look around right now and go, hey, you know, if you draft Freddie Swain on this receiver core, he could really emerge this year. They don't have that guy. They don't have a ton of proven experience. There's still projects and all, but it is the position more than any other you expect Billy Napier to hit come about 2 weeks from now.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
Text from the frozen rope, Kevin McAlpin, who's over at Truist Park right now, says Ronald Acuna talked to the media, says he feels fine, expects to play tomorrow. So this is one of those, we'll give it one more day, but Acuna says feels good, he will be in the lineup tomorrow. So there's even a chance, I would guess, maybe pinch hits later on tonight if the scenario, the situation plays
day by day.
By day.
By day.
By day. All right, coming up next, if you're a Falcons fan rooting for an early start to the Desmond Ridder era.
These guys drafted a quarterback that can't beat out Felipe Franks.
Oh, no, Buck. Well, Buck's not rooting for the beginning of the Desmond Ridder era. If you are, this sets up nicely for you. We'll tell you about it next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.
This is how we do it.
Happy Friday. I'm Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan and the Fan mobile app. We're on FM and kind of on AM and on the radio sometimes. We're always on the app. 680 The Fan mobile app. Download that B and take it with you anywhere, anytime. Stay connected to us. The 4 o'clock hour of the show is brought to you by South Point Financial Services. If you're looking to refinance your home or investment property, you need to contact South Point Financial Services at spfs.com. Coming up in 5 minutes, Kirby Smart is once again added to his impressive list of recruiting bona fides. We'll tell you how in just a few. But first, I know there is a segment of the Falcon fan base who is already wanting Desmond Ridder to become the starting quarterback and don't even want to go through the Marcus Mariota thing, whatever that thing might be. And they have convinced themselves that this is the next guy. And I hope they're right. I hope Marcus is the diamond in the rough as a third-round pick. I've already told you the likelihood he's not. The likelihood is he's just a guy who comes through here, gets some starts, and then they eventually either draft the long-term guy in the first round, as is typically done, or, as we've seen in 2021 or 2022 NFL, there are other ways to find your quarterback these days. But if you are rooting for Ridder to get the opportunity earlier rather than later, I might have your situation, your scenario. It's one that I don't like, but it's very realistic. Earlier in the program, we went over the Falcons schedule, which was released last night, but I'm going to limit this discussion to the first 7 weeks of the season. Here's the first 7 weeks for the Falcons. At home against the Saints, we already know they're a 3.5-point home dog. Week two at the Rams, they'll be a double-digit road dog. Week three at Seahawks, they'll be a slight underdog. It's a tough place to play. Seattle's got a great home field. Week four, home against the Browns. If Deshaun is playing, the Falcons will be a home dog. Week five at Tampa, it's Brady on the road. Duh, you know they're going to be a big dog. Week six, the Niners come to town. I would imagine small dog, but winnable. And week seven is at the AFC champion Bengals. The Falcons will be a decent enough road underdog. The Falcons very easily could be 2-5. After 7 games, they could be 1-6, and you cannot completely rule out an 0-7 start. It's the NFL, and everybody wins a game here or there. I get all that. That schedule is, on paper, ridiculously brutal.
Does not let up a whole lot either. There's a little bit of a break, but then the last 4 games?
Well, so I'm glad you brought that up. If things go as poorly as they might in this 7 games. They could be 2-5, 1-6. That could mean, at some point after the fans and the media are badgering Arthur Smith, why not play Desmond? Can't be worse. Let Desmond spin. There's a chance October 30th against Carolina at home could be the beginning of the Desmond Ridder era, or more realistically, an audition for 8 or 9 weeks. The Falcons have somewhat of a manageable schedule after the first 7 weeks. It's, you know, not exactly like they're going to be able to run the table, but after those first seven, the Falcons get Carolina at home. They get a home game with the Chargers. It is a short week, but it's at Carolina, who probably, unless things change, will be as lost as the Falcons. Following a home game against the Bears, at Washington, at home with the Steelers. Again, not easy, but a little lighter than the first 7 weeks. If you are one who wants to see Desmond, while you don't root against your team, the Falcons getting out of the gate really slow because that schedule is brutal. That is probably the most realistic way to see Desmond. Now, the one thing we'll never know is how he practices. Do they think he's ready? Do they want to force him out there before they feel like he's got a feel for the playbook? None of that stuff we'll know. But Arthur Smith will get exhausted with the questions by week 4, 5, and 6 of when Desmond, why Desmond, why not Desmond? You're 1-3, you're 1-4, you're 2-5. October 30th, just keep that in mind. If they do start slow, that could be the date.
It's so weird because obviously a really good record through 7 games, you're 6-1. Let's say the Falcons more realistically are 2-5.
Okay.
If the Falcons are 6-1, that would mean Desmond could step in on that team and have a better chance of learning and surviving and succeeding.
But it would also mean Marcus is playing well.
Sure he is.
Why would you do anything?
Oh, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. I'm saying here is the impossible logic to satisfy. Hey, the team around Marcus is even crappier than we thought, so put the rookie in, the guy who really is unprepared. Oh, it turns out that everything around him is in flames. Yeah, now we'll throw him in. It is the exact opposite of what you should do.
It is. But the way this one works is if you are 1-6, I don't care whatever they say, you'll get.
The more it's a cesspool, the more that the rookie, any rookie quarterback is going to drown.
You're going to build some hope by playing the young guy, or you think you're going to. I mean, coaches do that stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm saying it doesn't never make sense.
No, it's backwards. But I will add one other element. Because he's a third-round pick, you only get 4 years to look at him. You say, only four. If Marcus plays well this year and Desmond doesn't lift a finger, okay, now your evaluation time is down to 3. And I would add, if Marcus plays well, overachieves, the Falcons are competitive, Marcus comes back next year as a starter, so now you're down to 2.5 or 2 years to evaluate Desmond, and there's a chance you might never get to evaluate him.
Yeah, and you know what the tough part is? That year 3, he throws 18 touchdowns and 7 picks, and you're like, we think there's something there, but now we have to activate that 5th year and pay him $32 million.
I mean, they don't have a 5th year. I mean, that's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, for Desmond, because he's not a first-round pick. Yeah.
For Desmond, it's you got to look and then make the choice at that point what you're going to do with it.
Wow.
Yep. Coming up in 5 minutes, the Falcons head coach says he made a mistake in his rookie year.
He was, like, leg-humping a shark.
Did I hear a shart?
Shark.
Shark. Okay. And he says it won't happen this time around. We'll find out what that means in 5 minutes. But first, some Kirby Smart recruiting bona fides. I think Jonathan Williams was the source of this at Dog Daily SI, who had this number. Through 6 seasons at Georgia, Kirby Smart has had 45 players drafted into the NFL. So I want you to remember that number, Chuck. 45 players drafted.
All right.
First 6 years at Georgia for Kirby. Nick Saban's first 6 years at Bama, 27 players drafted. Dabo Swinney at Clemson, 28 players drafted. So just the bare numbers here, Kirby Smart had 18 more guys drafted in his first 6 years than Nick Saban, 17 more than Dabo. Now, certainly there's more context needed. Kirby walked into a much better situation than Nick Saban did and even Dabo Swinney did. The first class of Georgia players that went to the pros that had nothing to do with Kirby, but again, it's on his watch, so I'll give the credit. But you know how much he loves to have the recruiting bona fides. Like, that is his favorite thing. He knows it all, you know, starts and ends there. To be able to walk into a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old, hell, a 12-year-old's house and say, 6 years, we sent 45 to the pros, first 6 years in Tuscaloosa, Nick only sent 27. Whatever the context is or isn't, it doesn't matter. That is a recruiting bona fide that you get to throw up on your shoulders and go, we got a better chance to send you to the pros than they do. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. But Kirby can you know, brag about that one as he strides into a recruit's house, and he loves it.
It's a great thing now for a Georgia coach. When was the last time that bunch of players getting drafted was a good thing for a Georgia coach? Wasn't a good thing for Jim Donnan. Got Jim Donnan fired. All right, Mark Richt. Well, all these guys playing in the Pro Bowl, but got Mark Richt fired. Getting all these guys to Hawaii or wherever else, first-round picks, at some point, because that is a beaming sort of I'm proud moment. Look, those are my guys. But after like 2 drafts of that, you turn around, look at the coach and go, wait a minute, why aren't we better? And so that's now for Kirby. He's the first Georgia coach since Vince Dooley who could look at it and go, guys in the NFL and fans are happy.
Well, I think the spin, and I don't mean that you're not telling the truth, but if somebody was like, Kirby, how are you doing it? He could look at these moms and dads and these kids and say, well, we just develop them better. We get you ready for the pros better than anybody. Whether that's true or not does not matter. But you can say it because the numbers prove it out. I would have never guessed it would be this wide of a gulf. First 6 years to have 18 more drafted players than Nick. Now, Nick, again, came in at a time where the first year was just lost at Alabama. Second year, they started cranking it up. By the time you get to probably year three and, you know, Nick Saban is Nick Saban and it's Alabama. Now, I mean, things are chugging along, but it's a pretty phenomenal number. All right, so it's not often that the male ego will allow somebody on a public stage to admit a mistake the way Arthur Smith did, but I appreciate him doing this.
Yes, and I am assuming it will be different this season. You and I agreed on this, I believe. It should have been easy the first time. Coach Arthur now says, yeah, maybe your starters need to play at least one snap, maybe, in the preseason. Here is a quote. Coach Arthur earlier this week, yeah, my approach will certainly change this year. Talking about preseason snaps. I'm going to go a little more old school, and we got to get ready to play. We got to get ready to go from the jump. Is that the reason we lost the first two games? No, but it certainly didn't help. Got to play smarter, can't have self-inflicted wounds. Maybe I'm lucky. Maybe I got it right. Maybe anybody listening as well, because you were thinking the same thing. Why am Matt Ryan playing a snap? You're never supposed to be more right than the coach of the team. And this isn't just, you know, I said you should run the ball, you threw it, and it was a pick. This was a predictable outcome. I tried to be more creative and detailed in my language, but his approach was just stupid. Succeeding was going to be harder because of, no kidding, the very first on-field decision Coach Arthur made. All right, who's going to play in the game tonight, the preseason game? How about we don't play any of the really important players? Not at all. A single snap during the entire preseason. Now we don't do it. At least he said, yeah, we're going to do that completely different this year. It was a bad, bad, bad mistake. And it has gone all the way around the league, by the way.
So I wouldn't say stupidity. I would say fear. I think these coaches live in fear of the second guessing when your guy grabs a knee in the first preseason game. And the easy, obvious response from everybody is, what are you doing playing him in a game that doesn't matter? That's what I think. I don't think it's stupidity. I don't think Arthur's a dumb guy.
No,
I think it was fear. I'm telling you,
he knows better than to think you could not play any of your starters in the preseason and then hit the road running week one. He knows better.
Chuck, I don't think he does. I'll never forget what Chris Landry told us. Landry said, coaches sacrifice what you're talking about in the first several weeks because the fear. We know we're not going to be clicking week one, week two, week three because we're not getting game reps, but they're willing to trade that for the fear that is in them about somebody getting hurt. Now, context for this year. You're going to have Marcus Mariota throwing to brand new receivers, or in some cases, guys he's never thrown to before. There's only three preseason games right now. I don't think you're going to see these guys for full games. I don't think he's going to go that extreme, but a couple of halves in week one or week two and week three, I think that's very plausible that you could have Drake London get out there and run a bunch of routes, catching balls from Marcus in a game scenario. Same with Kyle Pitts. Same with a bunch of these new receivers. Your backfield's brand new. You're going to have Damian Williams back there.
Do you remember week one and week two, because we're talking about defense, and you're right
awful.
About that. I mean, all offense. Do you remember what the defense was? They gave up 80.
It was awful. That was Philly and Tampa. And
80 points in two NFL games?
Understand, I'm not saying he was right. I think the rationale was different. I think these coaches, again, NFL football's not good in the first two or three weeks. These coaches all sacrifice.
Isn't that an opportunity?
It is. It's a great opportunity.
It's an opportunity for somebody to say, you know what? We're going 1977.
But you have to be willing to deal with the risk.
As much as the Players Association will let us.
Deal with the risk of know that the world's going to go, you just lost your starting quarterback in a meaningless game because he got hit or ran the ball out of the pocket in the second quarter. That's just something they've got to be willing to deal with. And I don't know if they are. Because that one could potentially get you fired more than a struggle in week one when you lose, you know, 31-14.
I randomly said 77. That actually was the last season that you only had 14 games. You had 14 regular season games. You had six preseason games. You had a month and a half of every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, a month and a half of these games. With only three preseason games, can't you kind of cut it loose?
But Chuck, what you're not considering here is the money. The money always drives every one of these decisions. In 1977, when the guy went down, he would keep playing because we weren't going to go test you for an ACL. You're going to go through it. I'm just not running as well. And you're not losing on a salary-capped sport your most prized player because you played him in a meaningless game. What you're saying is right. The rationale from these coaches, because their job is on the line, ours isn't. The fear overtakes them. I have no doubt in my mind.
Whatever it's worth, the Falcons did give up 80 in the first 2 weeks. They gave up, I think it was 129 in the entire regular season in 1977.
I would add some more context.
Different time.
They might have played all
you know, 60 snaps in all three preseason games, they still could have given up 80 in the first 2 weeks.
That's true. They weren't very good.
The Saints have made a signing. The great Jarvis Landry joins the fun.
That helps him.
Doesn't hurt him. Jarvis, to me, is, like, you've seen the decline year after year. Now, Jarvis is another one of these guys.
Jameis is happy, I promise you.
He's another guy who caught 7-yard passes, if you think back to his career in Miami. And then in Cleveland, he had 1 year he was 14 yards per catch. Otherwise, it's 10, 11, 10, 11. It's another piece. But to me, it's a piece very similar to Michael Thomas. Now, they did draft Chris Olave. We'll see if Olave can step in and do something. But our guy, Graff, Todd Graffanini, the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, diehard Saint fan, sent me a picture of Jarvis Landry running CU opening week. I got a lot of concerns. Jarvis Landry ain't one of them. Like, this is what sad New Orleans has turned into. And I'm not saying this just to pick on New Orleans. You're this excited over Jarvis? Ask a Miami Dolphin fan about Jarvis Landry, and they'll get back to you on what you just got a slower Michael Thomas.
This is
okay? Good for you. Congrats. This
is a Mets fan excited about the first 4.5 weeks of the season.
But this has happened with the Saints year after year as they get progressively worse every year. They went from Breeze to now Jameis, and they're like, oh my God, we just got Jarvis Landry in May, and they're like, this is big. They go from a playoff team to just missing. This is what happens.
Oh,
it's
sad.
I
don't tell Graff and anybody else concerned with the Saints. The Saints told you what they think of their starting quarterback. They didn't want him.
Jameis to Jarvis? Yes, Dan.
The parallels between the Saints and Falcons are pretty similar in terms of, you know, Falcon fans think, well, you know, why don't you draft Georgia players? The same with Saints.
Oh, I know, with LSU.
Yeah,
you know the difference?
You signed them.
The difference is we've been to a Super Bowl in the last decade. I know Saints fans don't remember what it's like to play in that game because that was when VHS was still a thing, so it's tough for them. They set their expectations and they get, you know, Minnesota miracled.
All right.
What happens?
Wait, we've screamed about that forever.
I want to jump on and
I don't care if you do or not. I don't need your help.
Don't bring up the Super Bowl.
Palooka. No, we played in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. How did that go for the Rams and the Saints in the NFC title game?
Yeah, I understand
how did the
that.
Game, how did the game go? They lost at home to Kirk Cousins. Okay? I'll take a lot of ribbing from a lot of people, not from a loser franchise. Okay? You haven't been in a Super Bowl since 2009. You lost at home in the playoffs every year. Drew Brees took it into shorts every year. I'm not going to hear from them. I'll take it from a lot of people, not them. Jarvis Landry. Enjoy your Jarvis.
What a Falcons fan wants to say.
No, I was in a Super Bowl. See, I've been to two of them. Saints fans have been to one. Never forget that.
Never forget.
Hashtag never forget. Saints fans. We got Jarvis Landry. How sad are you that you're all gigged up over Jarvis Landry?
Who that?
My goodness. All right, I'm off. I'm done. I started sweating. It gets to me. Bothers me. Coming up next, Chuck's either going to yell at a horse.
Did you say horse?
And I said a horse. Was that a horse? Chuck's either going to yell at a horse or clouds.
I'm yelling timber.
Maybe both. We'll find out why next. By the rules, you're like 5 minutes away from your weekend. If you're not, happy weekend to you. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. We're going to walk you right up to the Braves and the Padres tonight at 7:20. You can get it on the radio or the Fan app. Don't try finding it on TV. It's on some stream or somewhere. You'll never find it.
I don't have Apple TV.
Good. You don't need it. You've got the Fan app.
I got the puck.
That's all you need. Chuck, in this case, is either going to yell at a poor defenseless horse or just clouds, maybe both.
No, we've just gone 100% wuss now. We officially have load management in horse racing. What the frick?
Whoa.
Rich Strike is an animal, first of all.
He is still an animal.
A healthy animal, specifically trained to run real fast.
He won the Derby, for those who don't know.
And Rich Strike is being held out of the Preakness to make certain he's ready for the conference schedule when you get into conference? Or
I believe they want to keep him healthy for the Triple Crown races like the Preakness and
That's the Preakness and then the Belmont. Correct. And he's not running in the Preakness. They're saving him for the postseason run? I don't know. This horse has three races that matter right now.
Steven Strasburg, is it proof that it works? How's Strasburg doing? Oh, wait a minute. Bad example. Now, I don't claim to know enough about the horse racing game.
I don't either. This is found money for this horse.
But Tiger Woods, you know, wouldn't show up at the Honda Classic after he won the Masters because he would then want to show up at, you know, the PGA
Tiger
Championship.
Tiger Woods was All-American at Stanford.
I understand. What I'm saying is there was load management for Tiger as
Rich
well.
Rich Strike, like, was in an Alpo container already headed off.
Do you know the horse?
Not personally.
Okay, so I feel like what you're doing right here is doing sports talk, a kind of yakker guy.
You know nothing about the horse. You know nothing about the horse's situation. How's the horse feeling today? What's the horse like? What's his mood?
If I don't know any of this. Kawhi Leonard can play the national game on a Saturday after playing Friday night.
Right.
The horse could run 2 weeks after the Derby.
Chuck, all I know about horses is I rode Cream Cheese, my pony that I would ride at camp as about a 10-year-old. So Cream Cheese seemed like after I would ride him for a little bit, he needed a break. And maybe that's the same thing for Rich Strike.
Just won the Derby.
I understand, but it feels like you don't know exactly.
Horse that every morning gets out to get the oats, to get the whatever the hell else, the hay, the apples, the carrots, and they walk it around the track and they train it.
I think you're being funny. You don't understand what it's like to be a premier a racehorse. That's all I'm telling you. I'd like you to do a little more recon, a little research, and then get back to me on the ins and outs of being a horse.
This isn't supposed to be funny.
No, it feels like you're taking a shot at the horse for no reason. The horse can...
The horse's owners.
Wait, will you get Rich Strike on the horn and see if we can get him to defend himself here? Because it's not fair that he doesn't have a say-so in this. I'm calling Rich Strike right now.
Rich Strike doesn't have thumbs. Like on Bluetooth? That's right in the ear?
That's exactly. You don't need thumbs, right?
Anyway.
Hold on. Let me see if Rich Strike answers. He's available right now. We'll get the horse on the phone to talk to Chuck. Chuck, you want to ask him why he's not going to race? You could ask Rich Strike. Rich, are you not feeling good today?
I have serious things I bring to the show, and then all you want to do is crap.
You made fun of the horse for load management, and now it's beneath you to ask Rich, are you still there? Rich joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Rich, Chuck wants to know why you're sitting out which race?
The Preakness.
The Preakness. Rich, why won't you be a part of the Preakness? Is there an injury, or are you just...
They said load management.
Are you tired?
Enough with the horse.
There he is. There's
enough of the horse.
Nobody else got Rich Strike but us today. That's a good get. What would you like Rich Strike to do? You want him to get out there?
Run!
Maybe he's got a bad hoof. The hoof. You know, you chop it off. It's a sin. The hoof. I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say about the horse.
I want Ronald Acuna in the lineup. I want Kawhi Leonard to play back-to-backs.
You went Acuna, Kawhi, and a horse. When's the last time you ran a race? Okay? Maybe Rich Strike's doubting you. All I want to know. It's easy for you to sit back.
I'm at work.
But you sit for a living. The horse runs. I'll get on your back, and I want you to run me around the studio. And then I want you to say, see how it feels. That's all.
Says the guy that called out with load management on Wednesday.
I had a tummy issue. Rich Strike, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. There he is, Rich Strike.
Give Rich Strike that prize pack. Then.
You want to... He doesn't sound good. I don't know what he's supposed to sound like. Rich does not sound great. Quite the gap. All right, coming up next, I've got some scorching hot takes on the newly released Falcon schedule.
Yeah, that opinion wears bedazzled jeans just like Matt.
Do I wear bedazzled jeans? Plus, the Braves ace has been maximum ace lately. We'll give you that in a Ronald Acuna update next.
Yeah, that opinion says every movie sucks.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.